hearts together. So I publish the banns of marriage between Aaron Jeffrey Michael Fox, single of this parish, and Joanne Nicole Fountain, single and also of this parish. This is for the second time of asking. And if you know of any reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it now. As there are no objections, let us pray for this couple. Heavenly Father, we pray for Aaron and for Joanne. We pray that you will be with them in the excitement and anticipation of their wedding day, but ask that you will keep their eyes on one another, building a firm foundation for their married life together. We pray that you will bless them and be with them. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I invite you all to stand as we sing our first hymn, which you can see here is number 250. Mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commands and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all those who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our collect prayer for this, the second Sunday of Trinity. Lord, you have taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat, so you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord.
Let us respond to these readings by singing our next hymn, number 129.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? The kingdom of heaven is close at hand. This is the good news which Jesus' life and ministry was devoted to proclaiming as he went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, curing the sick and infirm, and drawing to him crowds of people who above all needed to hear good news. We know they needed to hear good news because Matthew writes that they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. In truth, this can all too easily be the experience of our own lives. We can feel harassed and helpless, even as we try our best to tackle the challenges which we're confronted with in our own lives, whether it be a challenging week at work, frustrations with our families or in our social groups, or the never-ending grind of health problems, whether they be through age, illness, or genetics. It is good news that the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. Jesus is coming to a town or village near you. If you go to him, he will teach you. He will heal you. He will make your heart sing with a joyful peace, such as you never knew could exist. And yet, with the best will in the world, no matter how many people Jesus could engage with, there were yet more people out there with whom he couldn't spend physical time with. He looked out at them and he had compassion. His heart ached for their needs, and he resolved to send out to this flock who had no shepherd, shepherds. To this end, he summons together the 12 apostles. He shares with them his authority over unclean spirits, the power to cure disease and sickness, and he sends them out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Luke chapter 10, we see that Jesus later calls together 72 disciples And he sends them out in pairs to every city and village in the region. And in Acts, we hear that the word of God has continued to spread, and others are joining the disciples in proclaiming the gospel. Churches began meeting in people's homes. Christians were teaching and preaching in synagogues, marketplaces, and on street corners. And slowly but surely, the scriptures and history shows us that the church grew into her role as a body of believers who share in the message and power of Jesus Christ. This is a pattern which is rooted in Christ's ministry, which has been bequeathed to us both through the unending genealogy of the inheritance of faith, which we have heard passed on from one person to another, but also and most especially presented to us by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God into our hearts. As such, we find ourselves this morning tasked with a mission. Proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is close at hand to the peoples of Tyler's Green and Penn. And be reassured that the power to do so is not limited by our own efforts, but is given to us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul reassures us of in Romans 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Our mission is to share our hope of sharing the glory of God. That is, that we trust and know that although we are sinful, we are imperfect people who have made mistakes both big and small. We are able to come to Christ Jesus and become more than our failures and our misdemeanors. We are able to become holy, to become, in a very real sense, people who draw close to God in prayer and worship, and by so doing, find themselves changed by his love to become like Jesus, to become one who has compassion for others, to be selflessly good to those around us, whether they be friends, neighbours, or even, dare I say it, strangers. Entering the presence of God, we become holy. We become his children, and we find the fullest expression of who we truly are. Our stories of how this happens are as many and varied as there are each one of us sitting here today. The enormousness of God's love is such that he knows each of us by name and joins us in our own lives. There's no cookie-cutter vision for what a Christian's life should look like. And I say that as someone whose life superficially looks like it has been very obviously a Christian one. My mother's father was a vicar. My own father is a vicar. And I grew up going to church. I learned Bible stories and I had the opportunities to ask many, many questions before deciding that I would like to be confirmed. As it happens, by coincidence, or perhaps by divine providence, today is my 17th anniversary of my confirmation. And yet, my life has not been one of an always easy Christian faith. I have known heartbreak, despair, and frustration, both with myself and with God, asking, why haven't you answered my prayers? Why have certain things had to happen to me? What are your plans, if you have any, for my future? Perhaps in some ways that might resonate with parts of your own stories of faith. For we each struggle with different things. Yet Paul continues in Romans 5 to say, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the heart of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is close at hand. The presence of God draws near, entering even into the most secret corners of our hearts and purifying us with his love. God is the one who approaches. Abraham is remembered as a hero of faith, and yet our reading in Genesis begins, "The Lord appeared to Abraham." Likewise, for the people of Israel, Jesus came to their cities and their villages, meeting them in their lives to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. This proclamation was more than speech, but was revealed through his whole life and ministry. When people saw Jesus, they saw a glimpse of the heart of God. And this was true wherever they saw him, whether he was sitting on the prow of a boat, preaching to the crowds on the shore, whether they saw him debating with religious leaders or sharing a meal with disreputable people. And it was true when, impossible as it might seem, they saw him being beaten, mocked, and forced to carry the beam of wood which would become the cross upon which he would be crucified and die. For in our sin and shame, we dare not and indeed cannot approach God in his goodness and holiness. And so in his Son Jesus, God himself stepped into the world to seize our lives, our flaws, and our sin. He knew it and understood it, and he died to it, dying our death with us and for us, so that he could do something extraordinary. The love of God the Father for his Son Jesus raised him back to life by the power of his Holy Spirit, not simply restoring him to the life that he was living before, but establishing him as the most truly alive and living person that has ever lived since the fall of Adam. In dying, he died for us. In living, he lives for us. The one who has seized our sin and death has conquered it, and by his Holy Spirit pours into our hearts a hope which endures beyond death, beyond even the end of this world as we know it, into the eternally prevailing reality of the immense and the utterly incomprehensible love of God himself. The kingdom of heaven is close at hand, because God desires to share with us the love which he has for his only Son. Today, the nation remembers Father's Day with cards, small gifts, and meals out, or with recollections of fathers who are not present for a whole range of reasons, or indeed whose presence was unpleasant or even detrimental. Yet no matter the quality of our human fathers, in Jesus' death and resurrection, we share with him in his relationship to God the Father, such that he commands us to call this Heavenly Father our Father. When we recognize the extent of the love which God has for his Son Jesus, and realize that this same love is directed squarely at each one of us, specifically by name, and wow, can our lives change as we become his holy, beloved children, forgiven of our sins, healed of our infirmities, and encouraged with hope in all of our difficulties. The promise of salvation is tied to the living reality of Christ, the one to whom the disciples bore witness. In Acts, Peter says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man you crucified and killed. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus, whom you crucified. He repeats later, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." And Paul writes, "We proclaim Christ crucified, for God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is what we proclaim when we take the bread and wine of Holy Communion. This is the inheritance of faith which we have received. And that which we have received, we believe. That which we believe, we participate within. And that which we participate within is the eternal love-filled life of the God who has conquered sin, death, and the devil to claim us by name as his sons and daughters. So in a short while, as we come forward for communion, let us taste the promises of God in the bread and the wine. And as we do so, let us listen and hear the voice of Jesus ringing out through the scriptures and in our hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is close at hand." Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, you created us in love and for eternity, and you gave your Son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. As those who trust and hope in the living God, let us pray for our government. Let us pray that they go forward to make good decisions and act with wisdom and integrity in the pursuit of the common good throughout the world. We pray for those who are struggling to pay for food and power, and for those who are finding life difficult. Comfort them, Lord, and help ease their worries. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, be with all those who are suffering because of war. We pray for Ukraine and for their displaced persons, for those who have left their homes and their country to start a new life, not of their own choosing. Give them strength and courage to take on the stresses and strains of life in a new and unfamiliar culture. Give them hope for the future, Lord, and comfort them in their distress at their loss. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, at this time of year, when our young people are coming to the end of their exams, surround them with your love. Help us to be a support to them in their final exams and studies. As we look forward to the summer days and make holiday plans, we ask that you watch over all of us as we enjoy special times with our friends and families, and we thank you for the joy of being able to be with one another. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you bless Samuel and Linnea as they begin their new life here in Penn and Tyler's Green, and surround them with your love. We give thanks for their arrival in our community, and we pray that in our community we may continue to share and help each other, and we ask that you watch over all of us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
On this Father's Day, we pray for our fathers and the unconditional love and support that they have given us throughout our lives, and we give you thanks that they were always there for us when we needed them. We give thanks for all those who have been a strength and a support to us in our lives, and for all who have transformed our lives by their goodness. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Give strength to all those who are caring for loved ones who are ill, and comfort all those who have loved
lost loved ones recently. We give thanks and pray for those on the road to recovery, and we pray for those whose road to recovery is not so easy. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for our families and all those that we love. As the holiday time approaches, let us savour and enjoy the time spent with our families and friends, and let us be filled with warmth and joy that you are in our lives, and let your love surround us all. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Having heard the word of God and responded in prayer, let us stand and confess together our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of you Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory, to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. And we stand and sing our next hymn, number 168, Here is Love Vast as the Ocean.
Thank you.
is here.
His spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all of the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing.
Holy,
holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us your peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith with thanksgiving. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others, and we whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. At this point, I would like to invite those who have been taking part in the venerable establishment of the Tiger Club to come forwards, and perhaps you can share with us a little bit of what it is that you have been up to whilst everybody was listening to me talking about the kingdom of heaven being close at hand. Good morning. You are very brave. I appreciate you. Everyone else is most welcome, but well done for coming up. So, what have we been looking at this morning?
So we did stuff about fathers.
Yeah.
And how God is like our Holy Father.
Yes.
And then we made presents for our dads.
Oh, brilliant. did things about Father's Day and made presents for their dads, which reminds me, I should give mine a call later. So, brilliant, that's really good. And I think it's so important to remember that no matter what our dads are like, our Father in heaven loves us. And he loves us whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we have lots of big words, or whether we have lots of good colouring, or whether we can play lots of beautiful music. All of us together are the family of God. Do you know what the next hymn is? I don't either. What's the next number? Because that's what we're going to do now. We're going to sing our final hymn, which is a big number. It's 1120. Thank you very much. You're brilliant.
We are and follow me, my Lord,
take these gifts and offerings and those which are given by so many other various ways and means, that they may be taken and used for your glory. Amen. That last hymn is fantastic. And when we sing hymns, it can be very easy to get drawn into the tunes, to enjoy the singing and the atmosphere and the company. But my challenge to you at the end is not an extra sermon, but just a thought, is when you sing these hymns, really take these words into your hearts. Will you love the you hide? If I but call your name. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you and you in me. These words we sing to God, filling our hearts with his Holy Spirit, have the potential to change so much more than we can even begin to imagine. Let me leave you with that as we head out on to what is currently a glorious summer day before it turns into rain and clouds later. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.